Night is 9 p.m. on the East Coast, and you know what time that is if you're listening. It's time for the Cool Down Lap. This is the official podcast of Midwest Motorsports, which you can watch live right now on Twitch, obviously, or if you're watching, it's live. And then later on, if you want to catch up on some replays, you can look us up on YouTube, as well as all the major podcast platforms, including Spotify, TuneIn, Google, Anchor, and then Feather in My Cap, it sounds good. Sirius XM, come January or February. Welcome to the Cool Down Lap. My name is Greg Dreis. I want to let you know about a charity race coming up on December 9th, 2023 from BMRL Motorsports. It's for Toys for Tots. All entry monies and all the proceeds go to Toys for Tots, a well-run organization, and that's being run by BMRL Motorsports. For more information, if you want to make a donation, BMRL Toys for Tots on PayPal. It is December 9th, 2023, 7 p.m. Central Time for practice, 8 p.m. Green Flag. It's Trucks at Las Vegas, and there's some prize money there, too. So we're going to go right to our first segment, which is the Cool Down Lap guest, which this week is Sam Hubbard. He won the Amateur Series for the Midwest Road Series winner this week at Road Atlanta. And to do the Road Series Week in Review, I'd like to introduce James Johnson, the voice of Midwest Motorsports and my broadcast partner for the Truck Series. James, good evening.
Hey, Greg, how are you doing tonight? Monday night? I am
doing fine. It's now perfectly cold here in New York. No more 60-degree days. So frost on the pumpkin, all my flowers are put away, got the herbs inside for the winter, and getting into hibernation mode. How about you?
Yeah, about the same down here in Atlanta. The leaves are changing colors and starting to fall on the ground. It's beautiful. It's time to and spice around here already. Not sure if that's
boo.
Train that's hit this way up there.
Well, you can keep your pumpkin spice. I've got spiced rum on this end, so we'll call it even.
There you go. There you go. Oh, while we're still waiting for Sam Hubbard to be pulled into the voice chat, I will say that this week's race at Road Atlanta was absolutely insane. It was a sprint feature format this week. So we had a 20-minute sprint after qualifying and then an invert, the top 10. So they did qualifying. Max Bauer and Jason Phillips ended up starting on the front row. They went green. 20-minute session was really close, tight racing. Max Bauer led flag to flag, but it didn't really show all the racing action that was going on. Justin, are you able to pull Sam Hubbard in with us?
Yep, absolutely. I'll get him in here right now.
All right, thanks. And then, we're just going back and forth. Road Atlanta is a very tricky track with only a couple of passing places, a pretty narrow racing surface. So if you get offline, you can really lose a lot of momentum and then get repassed in the following turn. So the 20-minute sprint was almost single file, but there was still some really good, hard, and clean racing. A little bit smaller of a field, which may have helped some of that in the start, but lots of moves in the turn 10, the last left-right chicane before they finished the lap up. And the AMs, so you know the Road Series is split up into pro drivers and AM drivers.
Yep.
They were really mixed up this race with a lot of the AM drivers and the pro drivers doing very similar lap times. So it was about like a minute 25, I think, was the fast lap by Max Bauer. So lots of just really good hard racing. And I think Sam Hubbard's in here now. Sam, you got us?
I got you, James. What's going on, man?
Not much. Welcome. Welcome to the Greg Dreis podcast, the Cool Down Lap. He introduced you. Sorry we didn't get you in here for you to hear all that. But Yeah, man, thanks for joining us. I know you had a really good showing at Road Atlanta. Before we get into more of the feature race, I was just talking about the sprint race. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, Sam, where you're from, how old you are, maybe what you do when you're not sim racing, before we start talking about more Road Atlanta.
Yeah, for sure. I live in North Alabama. I've lived here my whole life for 20 years, so I'm 20 years old. When I'm not doing sim racing or anything on iRacing, I'm usually just going to school and trying to
Awesome. Are you studying? Have you picked a major yet, or?
Not quite yet. Still undecided.
Got plenty of time.
Still trying to narrow that down.
Plenty of time. All right. So we were discussing earlier about having maybe a beer league or some of the other leagues that are going around. I guess we can count you out of that one.
Yeah. For just a few more months, I for legal reasons cannot participate. Maybe if you've got some sparkling water or something, I might participate in that. But
yeah.
Dang them laws.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, how long have you been sim racing, and where did you get started? What made you get into iRacing?
So I started really sim racing back in 2019 when I joined my first league on the F1 games. But I wasn't really taking it too seriously. I was... more invested into the sim racing side of things. As the years went on and all that, I was able to save up enough money to get my own rig, which got me invested in iRacing. And then from there, I started just running official races. And then I really started on the oval side of things on iRacing. So most of my experience is actually driving on your NASCAR type series. My first league was actually a late model league, which I don't run in anymore, but I run in a Xfinity Series league on Wednesday nights as well. But recently I started to get into sports car racing, so just like the GT cars that we race on Tuesday nights. So I was really looking for a league to run some type of sports cars in, and I really grew this affinity for the Mercedes GT4 car for whatever reason. So I'm super thankful that I was able to find this league that runs the GT4 cars, and with how last week went, I think it worked out pretty well for me.
Yeah, I'd say. So let's talk about the sprint race first, I guess. It looked like you and you qualified just outside of the top five. I think you were like sixth or seventh for the sprint race. Is that right?
I think so. My sprint race really wasn't that eventful, I don't believe. I think might have made a move or two, and then I think I finished in fourth, which put me in sixth to start the feature event.
That's right. And Josh Bloom and Michael Odell. Michael Odell was running the Red Bull Porsche, and Josh Bloom was in the white AMG.
Right, yeah.
I don't know if you remember, but you guys went at it for the whole 20 minutes. Y'all were cranking out the same exact lap times. There was a couple of times where it looked like Michael Odell was going to put his nose in there, but didn't want to risk the good finish because he's also an AM driver. So as you know, with the AMs and the pro splits, you two were racing for points, but really racing for starting position for the feature in that sprint race, at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Michael Odell, he's super quick. He joined pretty late, so I haven't raced him too many times, but every time he's out there, me and him are usually right next to each other and very similar in pace. And I know at Suzuka I had a tough time on trying to hold him back, so I'm glad he's here. It's great competition.
Yeah, tell us, what do you think about the pro and am split? And, you know, what about your – I'm looking at your stats here at Monza, you won. Then at the Red Bull Ring, you got a fifth overall. And at Nürburgring, you were first in the AMs. Spa, you were fourth in the AMs. So all of your finishes have been in the top five. Worst was Red Bull Ring, the second one. So you're on the top of the AM points right now, even after Road Atlanta. So, I mean, that's pretty exciting. I guess you probably know what's coming next season if you stick around, right?
Yeah, I'm very much aware of what's probably going to happen next season. Yeah, I don't necessarily have a problem with the Pro-Am split. I think in some scenarios it's needed. I'm going to voice a disagreement on here and probably never be allowed back on here again, but the only thing I really disagree with is having like a separate points format for Pro and Am. I think we should have the same amount of points, and because I noticed that I'm sure that we all know the heroic move I made on that last corner, yeah, which I'm proud of and at the same time not proud of, but going back and looking at it, I realized that really didn't do anything for me in terms of overall points, because Max Bauer, he outscored me by 50 points simply because he's got a pro next to his name. So that's really the only thing I don't agree with. I think we should be fighting for the same amount of points and maybe have a separate championship for just overall in general, where there's a
that's the way it is overall. Working. You know, maybe it's just a misunderstanding, Sam, and it's okay. I'm glad you brought it up. It gives us the time to talk about it and clear the air, not just for you, but for anybody else that's listening that might have questions about how the points are scored. There is no one overall Road Series champion. It's the Road Series Pros and the Road Series Ams. So it's almost like two separate divisions are running at the same time, two different classes. There's not an overall Road Series champion. There's going to be two championship trophies handed out at the end of the road race season. The only reason there's a difference in points is just for the point spread as the positions go down to make somebody who might finish fourth in the AM division at one race have less points to make up to get to a closer fight in order to bring the total points at the end of the season closer together for the AMs. That was really almost, I don't want to say handicap because that's not really the right word for it, but to handicap all of the AM drivers to make it easier for them to be closer in points at the end of the season. I believe that's the theory when they came up with that. And this is the first season that Midwest Motorsports has split up the Road Series into two divisions just to give more guys an opportunity to be at the top of the field, wherever that field may be. So I don't know if I explained that to you, but did that help you out a little bit?
Yeah. I don't think I made my stance very clear. So I don't have an issue with the pro championship and then an AM championship. What I noticed is that the pro championship points, they're scaled a little bit. And that I don't necessarily agree with, because when you look at the overall table, you could be an AM guy that happens to be three pro guys and you'll end up getting less points than those three pro guys, even if you finished say seventh and they finished like eighth, ninth, and tenth. You'd still get less points than them. That's the only thing I really disagree with. Other than that, I've got no issue at all.
It's all good
with a pro ladder and an AM ladder. So I just wanted to clarify that before I got
first place in the points, you got the max points that any AM could get by finishing. Even if you finish behind Max Bauer, you still got the most points that any AM driver could have got. So it's all right. We'll move on, man. And I hope that you understand and your point is taken and will be considered for the next time the rule sets come up again. This has always been a learning process, as you know. Running a league is probably not the easiest thing to do, and there's so many things to consider and the different reasons people do stuff. The only way you can find out how it's going to play out is to do it and make a stance, and at some point a decision has to be made, and you see how it plays out, and then make a change next season if it doesn't accomplish the goal that you set out to meet, right?
Right, for sure. And that makes sense to me 100%. I've been on the manager side of of some small leagues before, so I get how tough it is to try and handle something like this. So I'm not dogging anybody at all. Y'all, they do a fantastic job of running this. It's a clean race every single time. They're always on top of it. They explain everything thoroughly. Not dogging anybody. Didn't come on this show to dog people at all. I wanted to hop on air, talk about the race, and just have a good time.
Darn, I was not hoping about... I was hoping for some drama. Ahead, I said, darn, I was hoping for some drama.
Yeah, get those ratings up, right?
Sure. Got to get the ratings up. Sam, I wanted to jump back and you said you got into the sim racing around the time of COVID. Did you catch any of the iRacing on network TV in lieu of NASCAR? And if you did, what was your impression of it?
I did, yeah. I thought that was a great way to actually try to bring in some new fans as well, because at the time there was no live sports on it at all. Exactly. Zero live sports. Nothing was going on. So that was about like the only live form of competition that any person could watch. So I think that was a great way to bring in the general public to into the world of sim racing and even real life racing, of course.
Yeah.
So I think that was COVID was obviously a terrible thing, but I think COVID was the absolute best thing to happen to the sim racing community, because the huge spike in popularity that racing and iRacing got from COVID, because we were all locked inside, was second to none.
Yeah, I was watching, I think it was one of the first e-NASCAR or Coke series or something like that, back when they only gave away $10,000 to the winner. Now it's like $300 or something. And sitting there watching it with my wife and my son, and I'm like, here's Dale Jr. commenting on a race that basically looked like a cartoon. And then when they cut to the in-car scene of the driver, it wasn't like what we have in our league. There's this 16-year-old kid in his bedroom, and you can see his cat and his dog running back and forth. And I'm like, all right, this is your typical 16-year-old kid playing a video game, except he's on live TV, and he's about to win $10,000. And when he made the final turn to come around to the checkered flag, you see his parents start getting up and come running into his bedroom before he's even won the race. So I figured, oh my gosh, they're going to make him lose it. But it was so cool and so surreal watching basically what looked like a cartoon race, which it was, because it's, you know, the video game or the sim. But then seeing the live drivers in their own homes doing it was incredible. It was entertaining, and like you said, there was nothing else on at the time, so I got a kick out of it myself.
Yeah, for sure. And people don't really give sim racing enough credit for what it actually does, because see, most people who sim race, we've all had. I think it's normal for every male to have the aspiration to be a race car driver.
Oh yeah.
I think that goes for everyone. Even people that aren't really that invested in racing, we all want to be a race car driver at some point.
Yep.
So sim racing is a great way to itch that racing bug, essentially.
Yeah.
Because let's just be honest here and shoot it straight. Most people, your everyday Joes, simply do not have the funding and sponsorship backing behind them to just go buy a Formula 3 car or go buy a late model and just go hit the track like that. So sim racing is a great way for people to just kind of get their foot inside that door. And I can't remember who said this. I think it was Jimmy Broadbent maybe, but he said it the absolute best. The cars may be fake, but the racing is 100% real.
Oh, that is so true.
That competitive nature, it's still there. That rush that you get from just driving quick and just battling with somebody lap after lap for a spot, you still get it. That feeling is one-to-one replicated perfectly. It's still
exactly
there.
Exactly. And after a tough race where you're basically, if you're running up front and you're looking at your rearview mirror, I know I am. I am a lot of times physically exhausted after a race, especially like last night. I wasn't up front, but the Daytona road course is a bear. And when that race was over last night, I was tired. I went upstairs and went right to bed.
100%. After the Road Atlanta race, I was – this is going to sound like a real pansy thing to say, but I was definitely sweating after that one, without a doubt.
Cool.
It was a great race, Sam. I know Max Power well, first of all, there was a crash after the invert. All right, we'll go rewind a little bit back to the start of the feature race with the 10-spot invert. It was Adrian Fedorowski and Chris Hopper that started on the front row. And those guys usually are not in the front row. So they had a lot of, you know, adrenaline and, you know, excitement and anxiety as they come in to take the green at Road Atlanta. Turn one is uphill right-hander. Already, Adrian Fedorowski and Chris Hopper have been passed by third and fourth. Anyway, by the time they get to the downhill, S is in turn four, and right before turn five, Chris Hopper goes off, driver's left, bounces off the wall, comes back in front of the track, right in front of sixth and fifth and sixth and seventh. So right off the bat, I think it was Max Power got into it. Everybody else just piled in behind it. Four cars got away to like a 20-car lead. And I believe you got around that mess, right? Do you remember, Sam?
Yes. So Hopper, as we were coming out of turn number three, Hopper, he went off directly in front of me. So as soon as he went off, me and a top three, we were already gone.
Checked out.
So that was definitely a huge lucky break for us.
All right. And then Max Power took off, and then actually Max Power was in that. And so you had about, I think it was about an 18 or 19 second lead. And so Max Power finally caught you like with maybe five laps to go. So like we're within 8 or 9 minutes left. And so I'm sure, like, what were you, were in front leading and then watching him getting closer and closer. Were you paying attention to the split times, or were you more focused forward? What was that?
I was
like those last few minutes.
Absolutely watching that gap, laughed after lap. I would be lying if I said, "Oh, I didn't care at all. I just kept driving my race." I absolutely was looking at that gap, laughed after lap, because I knew at some point I know how quick he is. He's been quicker than me all race long. I knew at some point that he would run me down eventually. So it was just right before we made our pit stops, I noticed that the gap was staying relatively the same, that he wasn't really gaining on me, and I wasn't really pulling away. Gap was staying the same. So at that point, I got this false sense of hope, like, hey, you know, maybe I'll be able to hold on to like a 8-second lead or something and just kind of cruise home safely. And then we made the pit stop. Then he started, you know, doing the Max Power thing and gaining. And then
did you take two at that pit stop? Because I know
I did take two front tires. I did.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the reason I did that was because during the stint where the gap was staying about the same between me, Max Power, and I think it was 24, Steve Hansel. Mm-hmm. Who's in third, and the gap was staying about the same, which in my mind, because I know I don't think I'm as naturally as quick as they are, so I was thinking, okay, maybe I was pushing tires a little bit too hard, and that's why I was staying ahead of them like that. So that's why I took two tires, because I got it in my head that I was pushing too hard.
Well, it was great racing, and you know, you finally got around you, and you didn't put up too big of a fight, man. I think you knew. You saw the writing on the wall, but once he got around you, he didn't really check out or leave from you. You were able to hang with him. And I was going to ask you today if you picked up something by following him, because he, once again, is a pro driver. He's done really well in the F3s. You can tell every single race he's up front on the poles and, you know, fighting it out for the lead in the pros, regardless of what track it is. So I was wondering if you picked something up by following him, or if you were just trying to hang on and doing the best you can.
So two things on that. I actually set my fastest lap of the entire race the lap before he passed me. I set a 25.7 the lap before he passed me. I think his fastest lap of the entire race was a 25.3. So.
Yep. 3.9. Yep.
And the second thing
that I want to touch on is something that you said was I didn't put up much of a fight. I put up a fight. I did. I just didn't do it right. I took the wrong defensive line into that corner, and he covered a switchback that I was going for perfectly and just took away my entire run.
Yeah.
Going through the Fox Factory Bridge.
Yeah.
But, yeah, but following him, I definitely learned something because this is probably the same for most racers and sim racers, but when you're running down somebody and someone is directly in front of you, you kind of get this tunnel vision to where you just automatically hit all your marks because you're locked onto their bumper. And that's essentially what was happening as soon as he got around me, because I was staying right there with him and just hitting my marks better than I've hit them the entire race, just by having this dead set tunnel vision, just looking at his bumper the whole time.
Sure. You know, and I like that about all competition and all racing, you know, is that level of focus, you kind of step it up a notch. I think the part that really separates the pros and the ams is the ability to think big picture, though, and not get so caught up in the moment. Because on that last lap, that last move, you had over a minute lead on second place. And Max Bauer, I mean, Steve Ansell, I think, was running second, if I'm not mistaken. I'll double check that. But at less than 10 seconds over the guy he was fighting for second. So, I mean, it was Max had to think to recognize the difference between a pro and an am, that there really wasn't a whole lot to gain by putting up a bigger fight or hitting every single mark. You know, he was managing a 10-second gap versus managing a minute and 30-second gap, or a minute and 10-second, I think is what it was at the end of the day. But that's just, you know, like I say, something that is just a different level. And so I just think that you put up a great show, and it was awesome racing. And, I mean, dive bomb into turn 10A. You said you went down an extra gear. Did you go all the way down to first gear and over rev?
So I'm glad you brought the move up, because I've been waiting ever since I made the move to go somewhere and actually explain this whole thing. Because before we took the green flag for Road Atlanta, I was not aware of the full details of the points format. After Road Atlanta, I knew the full details of the points format. So I thought that I was going to gain something by getting the overall win besides pride. So now that that's out of the way, making the actual move itself, coming out of
seven.
So out of turn seven, my whole entire plan was to just get a good exit and just stay with him and make the move. If I was close to him, I was always making the move. The move was always happening. I got a terrible exit. I spun the back tires, got a terrible exit. He pulled about a car length on me. Y'all saw that on the live broadcast. So after turn seven, I'm thinking, okay, just pack it up. We still got the AM win, whatever. We'll try and get them next time. As we were approaching turn 10, I think I did something. I suffered from a disease that I think all racers suffer from, and that's just ignorance in the moment. Some bliss ignorance. Because as we approached the normal braking point, I clicked into sixth gear for the first time the entire race. At that moment in time, I don't think I was fully conscious. It genuinely, this is going to sound barbaric, but it felt like I had just transcended and someone else was making the move for me. And it's the dumbest thing I've ever done, but at the same time, it worked, right? So I'm thankful that Max Bauer left the space after he saw me, because personally, if someone tried that on me, right, I'm drawing the foul. I'm drawing the foul all day. All day. I'm going in the grass and I'm trying to get back on track as quickly as possible, and then I'm having a hissy fit to race stewards.
You're filing a protest after the fact.
To,
right?
ticket that got penalized. Personally, that's what I'm doing. But like you said, Max Bauer was thinking the big picture. I at the time was not. I was going for pride, and my goal, because as soon as I joined the league, my one goal was, as soon as I saw that there was a pro class, an AM class, and I was an AMs, my number one goal was to win overall, to prove that AM guys can do it. And with this being a sprint race, and the inverted field, and the front runners being piled up in that wreck on lap one, I knew I was, I don't know if I'll ever get this situation ever again. And with that looming in the back of my mind, I just clicked it into sixth gear for the first time the entire race, broke about 25 meters a little late, and just no other way to put it, but just sent it.
Yeah, full send. I did it, man. It's all good. Well, like I say, I think you, my friend, have found what they call the zone.
Yep.
You know, and shut out everything, and you just get right in it. And, nothing else matters at that point, man. So it was a lot of fun to watch, a lot of fun to call. And I just want to say, congratulations on the win. And you're leading the pro points. And we'll take it from there, man. Just thanks for coming on tonight and being willing to explain it. And I hope that it's been a lot of fun for you. It sure has been great for us to have you on the air.
Yeah, for sure. This league has been a great experience. I've ran into some wonderful people. And like I said, this league has ran great. The admins are all great. Shout out to Justin Thaler. He runs this thing incredibly. He hasn't put a foot wrong yet in my time of being here. Just everyone involved, they do a fantastic job. And shout out to you, James. You do a fantastic job commentating. You do a great job of bringing excitement to what's essentially a video game. You find a way to make the video game feel real. You add the emotion. You add the storylines. You do a great job of that. So shout out to you.
Hey, thanks, man. Well, we'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow night to go to Road America.
Absolutely, man. I'll see y'all there.
Thanks for joining us, Sam.
Thanks, Sam.
It's Sam Hubbard. And it's, what a great race. It's great Road Series. Road Series is off to Road America tomorrow night. 60 minutes straight up after qualifying. Don't forget to watch. You can stream it on Twitch. The Twitch stream is Rivenvale, Rivenvale. We hope to see you there.
I got to get
all right,
that.
Back to you, Greg.
I got to get that guy on my Oval team. And I might just join the road course just to have it to get on his team. That guy was great.
It's pretty fun. It's fun to see him race progress. And I hope that everybody learned something tonight. You know, it just goes to show that, you really got to read all the rules to compete at the right level and know what your end target is.
Yeah.
So
well,
thanks for letting me take so much time on your show, Greg.
Oh, no problem at all. But the one thing that he was saying when he asked him if he learned anything following Max Bauer. He said, yeah, he's red on his bumper and you get in the zone. I've done that. Fighting back from, I don't know, even a stupid thing like Carburetor Cup where you get wrecked and then, you go in, you get your repair done, you come out, you're all pissed off, and then you just like, okay, I got 10 laps to get back up. And it works. You just focus on it and just wait and get on that leader's bumper or second place or whatever, and you're comfortable. And like you said, you're not there. Someone else is driving the car for you because you're focused on that guy's bumper, that driver's bumper, waiting for them to make one little mistake, and then you're going to go for it. And I've been there, and it's so true. And when he said that, I'm like, yeah, that's what happens when I win or make a good comeback. And the antithesis to that is if you're in a race and you're pack racing and the driver in front of you is a terrible driver and you don't know whether to stay in his draft because you know they're going to wreck, but if you get out of the draft and he doesn't wreck, you're screwed. So that point-on-point, second-on-second, changing your strategy and what if I do this, what if I do that, and as the race progresses on, that's where the sweating comes in. So great interview, and that was great. That was a good one.
Yeah, thanks. I know that it took a lot of time there. There's a lot of other Midwest motorsports racing going on this weekend too. And I'm just glad that we were able to talk it out and hopefully clear the air on some of the road race series rules and racing going on.
Yep. Hey, just remember this is a podcast. This isn't like my talk radio show where it started at 7 o'clock and ended at 9 o'clock in the morning. There's no time limit on podcasting. That's the wonderful thing about it. It's like being on radio doing my talk radio days, and if the guest is on, I don't have to kick them out in 15 minutes because the local librarian's coming in and telling about story hour again. I used to hate that. You get a good guest, and they can only be on 15 minutes because the local librarian's going to come on and talk about pumpkin spice recipes for fall. I'm like, get out of here.
Right. Hey, please.
Oh, that's cool.
It was cool. It was great racing. And speaking of, I think the trucks were at Road America, right? And we got Justin, who won that race. And I'm not sure if you were planning on talking with him tonight, but
sure, why not?
I know that he was out running by himself for a little while. So almost the opposite of having somebody on your butt or chasing somebody, right? Lap after lap after lap, being by yourself. I don't know if that's hard to find the zone when you don't have any pressure on you.
I sometimes think that's even more pressure. If you're not paying attention, the podcast I did earlier, I had a couple, Justin Clapper on, and he's a tire changer in the NASCAR Truck Series. And we were talking about, what is it about Watkins Glen? It shouldn't be a hard track, but it is a hard track. And I knew where he was going, and I got my impression of it was the same as his. And he goes, well, it's hard because you think it's not. You know, you get like Laguna Seca, the Corkscrew, or some of these other road courses with 90-degree turns. Watkins Glen, there's no 90-degree turns, so you think it's going to be easy. And again, it's like running out there by yourself for most of the race, and you think, oh, I got it in the bag. And then all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose. You crash, you miss a turn, and you're out of it. So it's I would not want to be out running away with the race out in first place, or have the second place car right on my bumper. I would rather be that second place car. There's a lot less stress when you're waiting for someone to make a mistake versus being the driver that cannot make a mistake.
Well, let's ask the man himself, Justin Thaler. If you got even somebody like your brother, Eric, number 15, running the Midwest Motorsports colors, or Dustin Reinstedl in the number 11, right on your bumper, but 5 seconds back, were you feeling any pressure, or were you just cranking out laps, Justin?
Oh, hey, guys. Yeah, I mean, there's always that sense of pressure. I think there's a little more added. At times, anytime you're leading, I think regardless of the series, you kind of get a little lackadaisical. You lose kind of that sense of urgency. Sam kind of made a good point. I tend to be faster when I'm chasing somebody down. So, you kind of just get in a rhythm, and if you're not on top of it and really managing that gap, you can kind of let those guys start to creep back towards you. And then you let that happen. And there's even more pressure on you to try and build that gap back up. So, not my favorite place to be, honestly. I'd rather almost all the time be kind of chasing somebody.
Yep.
And then, making myself make a move or trying to potentially force the driver ahead to make a mistake and get around them that way. But, it's kind of a little give and a take when you're trying to manage a gap. But, just keep hitting your marks the best that you can. To not at least make a mistake. And, if the guy's faster, he's faster. Outside of defending, there's not much you can do about that.
So you'd rather be chasing than leading. What about you, Greg?
Same thing. Definitely rather be chasing than leading. And if you ever notice, if you're watching any of the NASCAR races, if 10, 15 laps to go, and the first place car has got a 3 or 4 second lead over the second place car, you hear the pit crew chief coaxing the guy along, saying, okay, you're doing well, keep it going, trying to get his mind off the fact that someone's trying to chase him down, and also reminding him gently that he can't get too comfortable. So it's a fine finesse when you listen to the crew chief tell the driver, okay, you got 10 more laps to go, hit your mark, keep it going, okay. It's great. I love the psychology of the crew chief talking to the driver out in front. But I would much rather be that second place car zoned in on that bumper waiting for that mistake to be made that you can jump on, instead of being the one who can't make a mistake.
Yeah, it's easy to run over the guy in front of you when you're chasing so close and you're a brake marker.
Yeah.
Or the brake point might be, let's say, for example, the 100-meter board. And that's your braking zone. Well, if you're bumper to bumper on somebody in a draft, the braking point is a 100-meter board, then your braking point has to be a car behind the 100-meter board, or you're going to run through them.
Pretty much.
So you have to really be aware of the, I call it a concertina or the accordion effect of making sure that you can slow down. I like to give even a little more space and then get a better run on the exit to make a pass for the next place.
Yep.
If the opportunity presents, but that's just the art of racecraft, and you learn by getting overtaken sometimes, right?
Yep. Justin, what are your plans for Miami this weekend?
Try and stay as close to Eric as possible.
there you go.
He's ridiculously good there. He's always good there. Just trying maybe get some pointers from him. I don't feel like I run terrible at Homestead, but I'm going to be running the wall likely. So, making moves where I can, if I have to kind of get off of my preferred line to advance any spots or try and get some clean air on the front of my car, then I'll definitely be doing that. But that's pretty much my plans, is just kind of try and keep it clean, stay out of trouble, and just take what I'm given.
Yeah, there was a lot of concern after Miami was repaved whether there would be as many lines. Seems to be there's still at least 3 good lines you could run on that track. And you say you prefer to run the outside?
Oh, yeah. Yep, right along the wall, whole way around.
Okay.
It's tricky, but yeah. I'm not too good, trying to dive it down and wrap the bottom as I am just trying to keep the RPMs up, but hopefully my brother will be so inclined to give me some more tips on running Homestead.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Oh, I'm no threat.
Well, good luck this Sunday, or this weekend at Homestead. I'll be running Sunday night in the Cup Series there, so probably see you in that race too.
Yep. Yeah, in the Cup car, and I'm probably a little more excited for that. Obviously, I've just been doing a little better aside from the Cups compared to the Truck Series, as far as oval side goes. So, put a little more focus on the Cup car, I think, this season.
Cool. Well, we'll be in the broadcast booth with James there on Friday night, and I will definitely be watching how people drive. Even though it's trucks, I can maybe pick up some tips on how to do Miami, even though I love that track. But there's always room to pick up a few pointers here and there, I think.
Yeah, Eric, why don't you give us some pointers?
Selective hearing, I think he has right now.
I guess.
All right. Well, good luck this weekend.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Greg.
All righty. So let's run back up and take a look at Road Series points, the top 10 in each division. In the AM division, Sam Hubbard, who is on tonight, has got a pretty comfortable lead at 94 points over Justin Glockner. 1399 versus 1305. Dan Wortman is in P3 with 1070. Fourth place is Dan Gish with 770 points. In P5 is Michael Odell with 722. Christopher Copper with 675 is in P6. P7 is owned by Taylor Montague with 647 points. With 640 is Adolfo Castillo in P8. Aaron Holroyd is in P9 with 600 points. And rounding out the top 10 in the AM division is Dustin Reinstedtl with 580. In the pro division, Max Bauer has 2,081 points, pretty comfortable over lead over Johan de Roy, who's in P2 with 1,779 points. P3 is Jason Phillips with 1,756. With 1,191, Shay McNeely in P4, while P5 is Joshua Bloom with 1,167 points. Steve Hansel is in 6 with 1,144. Justin Thaler is in P7 with 1,020 points. And rounding out the top 10, P8, Adrian Fedorowski with 922. Francis Faustino with 900 points is in P9. And Justin Fedorowski in P10 with 782 points. Want to let you know about Track Racer, affiliate with Midwest Motorsports. If you're looking for high-quality racing equipment, log on to Track Racer and make sure you mention or find out what the code is when you check out. And the league gets a little stipend, a little kickback for the sale to help cover the cost of running leagues, which can be quite expensive. I know. I was running a league, three of them, and between broadcasting and prize money, it can run a couple hundred bucks a month. So Track Racer for all high-quality equipment. Find the code. Mention Midwest Motorsports when you check out and send some money back to your league. Take a look at Truck Series points. In first place is Bryce Mettings with 163 points. Right behind him, Eric Thaler with 152 points is in P2. P3 is Sean Hapik. He's got 145 points. Right behind him is Ryan Latshaw. Actually, they're tied for third with 145 points. Followed by Justin Thaler with 140. Brandon Thayer with 137. Excuse me. Michael Simia with 132. And right on his tail, or his bumper, as you say in racing, is Craig Hawkins with 131 points. Branton Hinton with 125 is in P9, or actually probably P8. And then rounding out the top leaders, Albert Williams with 122 points. It's Midwest Motorsports Truck Series points for this week and the next race this weekend. Friday night is at Miami Homestead. Looking forward to being in the booth with James that time, which will be 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 9 p.m. Central for Midwest Motorsports Truck Series. On to the Xfinity Series. The winner there was Ben Litherland. And take a look at the Xfinity points. In first place, a name we hear quite a bit on the show here, is Dustin Reinstedtl with 169 points, but he can't get too comfortable, even though he's a celebrity on the show. Michael Simia is right behind him with 166 points in P2. Christopher Melton in P3 has 145. Jason Huffman just 3 points behind him with 142 in fourth place. Fifth place is owned by Garrett Reed with 141. And Clarence Prince with 138 is in P6. Drew Alvarez has 134 points. He's in P7. Brandon Hinton with 132 is in P8. Tie for ninth place with 126 points. John Gates and Tom Gulker. And rounding out the top 10 is Joshua J. Watt with 123 points. Pretty close points races there in the top 10. Next week, next race is November 18th, Miami Homestead, and looking forward to that race. Now, time for the Cup review. The winner at Daytona yesterday, the Daytona Road Course. Talk about a hard course that is hard, whether you think it's hard or not. It's a pain in the neck. But Justin Thaler won. I finished. I was happy to finish in only 6 incidence points, and one of those came when I ran into, I think it was car number 9, because either he slowed down or I came into the second chicane too fast, but I ended up turning some really good times for me then, and that's at the Daytona Road Course yesterday, which is a grueling, grueling course, no matter if you're up front or in the back. Take a look at the Cup Series points. First place is Justin Thaler. He's got 178 points. P2 is Christopher Melton with 169. Eric Thaler in P3, just a point off the pace of Chris Melton with 168. P4 is Peter Dillon with 151. With 145 points, there he is again, Dustin Reinstedtl in P5. Brandon Hinton with 142 is tied with Andy Caster, followed by Norm Snyder. He's the guy I bumped into and kind of sent him for a little bit. Apologized, and he said, no problem. Followed by Clarence Prince with 127 points. And rounding out the leaderboard for the Cup Series is John Bates with 122. Next race in the Cup Series is Sunday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, Miami Homestead. And that's going to be a fun race. Multiple lines you can run. Not as many as before they paved, but there's still at least 3 that I found that can be run at any time. Another fundraising race I want to let you know about, 7 p.m. tonight. I had Bo Condon and Justin Clapper on talking about the Turkey Trot at the Glen, which is this Saturday, starting at 12 p.m. Eastern time. And it's a fundraising race for BARCS, which stands for Baltimore Animal Rescue and Care Services, also Feeding America. These guys are putting this race on this weekend. It's all 3 series, I think. Trucks, Xfinity, and Cup Cars. 3-hour endurance race. Doors open at noon. They're doing a couple things pretty interesting there. Green flag isn't until 7 o'clock, but they're opening everything up at noon, trying to get more people to get in, more people to show up. It's $15 per car to get in, and $100 prize based on entries for the top finishers in the 3 series. They're also having a, I guess you can call it a raffle, on so that if you're not racing, you can chip in $10 and get a chance to win $500 worth of video services, $150 towards the Rusty Wallace racing experience, or the one that I want, $100 for Omaha Steaks. That's a small steak and shipping. Good stuff, but not cheap. And that's the Turkey Trot at the Glen this Saturday, 11:18. Doors open at 12 p.m. Eastern time. It's a 3-hour endurance race that starts at 7. Mandatory comp caution at 8:30 to round everybody back up, give the slackers a chance to catch up, and then another one at 9:30, and it's a 30-minute sprint to the finish. And that's courtesy of RL Productions and Thunderclap Exhibition Series. And you've been listening to the Cool Down Lap, a production of the Sim Racing Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Dreis. The Cool Down Lap is the official podcast of Midwest Motorsports. And one more grueling ad, the Sim Racing Podcast, that's me, sponsoring a money race this Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern time. So if you're racing in Midwest on Friday night, this race starts at 8 and you'll be done at 8:45. It's a 40-minute Formula V run at Lime Rock Park. Free entry, 40-minute race, 50% fuel, fixed set, one quick fix, one tire change. Limited to 30 cars, safety rating or license C to A, I rating 500 to 2,000. Lobby opens for practice at 7:30. It's hosted. We're going to be running both chicanes. iRacing rules. The winner gets $25, $15 for second, $10 for third. That's the Gobbler, sponsored by the Sim Racing Podcast, this Friday night at Lime Rock. It'll be under-hosted, so if you're interested, get in there early. It's first come, first serve. That's the Gobbler at Lime Rock Park, Formula V Race. Thanks for listening, everybody. This has been the Cool Down Lap, like I said, the official podcast of Midwest Motorsports. And a great league to be in, having a blast running the Cup cars, and We'll hopefully catch you Friday night in the booth with James talking about the truck race. Other than that, stay in your lane until we see you on the track. Thanks for listening and have a good night.